Garage Logic Podcast number 81, January 18, 2019, 36 below in 1887 on this day, but as high as 48 on this day in 1891. This segment of Garage Logic is brought to you by Henry Skate Sharpening. You just located in the back room of the Knack Hardware and Lounge.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Rookie on production, Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop, here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
We haven't talked about the wall, which is the source of all contention right now in Washington, D.C., the building of a wall along the southern border. With Mexico, and but I'm going to talk about it right now. I'll tell you why. And Jordy alerted me to this. I'm a big admirer of Dennis Prager. You guys know Dennis Prager, syndicated talk show host. I'm an admirer of Dennis. And he has an online university, and there he gets wonderful people to record videos, and they're all of a common sense nature. They're fantastic. And Jordy, I've been sitting on this for a while, but today seems to be the day to play this. Jordy linked me to one of the appearances on Prager's online university. I think it's called PragerU. He had as a guest commentator Charles Krauthammer. I admire Charles Krauthammer a great deal. He's no longer with us. On June 5th, 2017, Krauthammer did a piece for Prager on building a wall. That's what? Almost 2 years before this current kerfuffle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Charles' voice, you have to listen closely. Charles, of course, was paralyzed in a diving accident, and he was a year away from death, and it may be that his voice was starting to weaken a bit. He died June 21st, 2018, last summer. At any rate, this is Charles Krauthammer, and the reason I want to play this is because this is what I now think of building a wall. Because I'm willing to take my tutelage where I find it, and I trust the thinking of Krauthammer. I think he was an extraordinary thinker. I think he was a genius. I think he was a good guy. And this is a rational, civil, calm, common sense description as to why a great thinker like Krauthammer believes that a wall is necessary. And again, this was done June 5, 2017. He's no longer even on Earth, much less is he currently commentating on the wall. This was almost 2 years ago. You have to listen carefully, I think. Charles had a distinct way of speaking, but I guarantee you it'll be worth your while.
Every sensible immigration policy has two objectives. One, to regain control of our borders, so that we decide who enters, and two, to find a humane way to deal with the 11 million illegal immigrants who now live among us. Start with the second. For both practical and moral reasons, America cannot and will not and should not expel 11 million people. That leaves us with two choices: ignore them or figure out a way to legalize them. Ignoring them hasn't worked. But there's also a huge problem with legalization. It creates an irresistible incentive for new illegal immigrants to come. We say, of course, that this will be the very last, very final, never again, we're not kidding this time, amnesty. And everyone knows it's phony. That's what we're saying.
The background zooming noises you hear is that this was a video, and graphics were being thrown up on a screen behind him.
With numbers.
That's what you're hearing. All right, pick it up, please.
In 1986, when we passed the Simpson-Mazzoli immigration reform, it turned out to be the largest legalization program in American history. Nearly 3 million people got permanent residency. There was no enforcement. We now have 11 million new illegal immigrants in our midst. The irony of this whole debate, which bitterly splits the country, is that there is a silver bullet that would not just solve the problem, but also create a national consensus behind it. A vast number of Americans who oppose legalization and fear new waves of immigration would change their minds if we could radically reduce new, i.e. future, illegal immigration. And we can. First, build a barrier. Call it a wall, call it a fence, call it what you will. Add cameras and sensors, add drones, beef up the patrols. All that matters is that we regain control of the border. Fences work. The triple fence outside San Diego led to a 90% reduction in infiltration. Israel's border fence with the West Bank produced a similar decline. Even holier-than-thou Europeans have conceded the point. Hungary, Macedonia, Bulgaria, Austria, Greece, Spain, why even Norway have all started building border fences to stem the tide of Middle Eastern refugees. Then enforce two other measures, a national E-Verify system that makes it just about impossible to work if you're here illegally, and a functioning visa tracking system, since 40% of illegal immigrants are visa overstays. The wall fence will, of course, be ugly. So are the concrete barriers to keep truck bombs from driving into the White House. Sometimes function has to supersede form. And don't tell me that this is our Berlin Wall. When you build a wall to keep people in, that's a prison. When you build a wall to keep people out, that's an expression of sovereignty. Of course, no barrier will be foolproof, but it doesn't have to be. It simply has to reduce the river to a manageable trickle. Once we do, everything becomes possible, including dealing with our 11 million illegal immigrants. So let's fix that. Track the visas, do we verify, build the damn barrier. It's ridiculous to say that it can't be done. And who would certify that the border is back in our control? I would have a neutral party, perhaps a commission of retired jurists, issue the judgment. Once they do, we legalize the 11 million, granting them the right to stay and work here. We can't give them citizenship. That's a bridge too far. You don't get to join the political destiny of the country by entering it illegally. But any children born here would be American, which means that over time, the issue resolves itself. The American people are legitimately angry at the price American society has paid due to illegal immigration. But they are also a generous people. Once they're assured that we do indeed control our borders, that anger will abate. A national consensus will emerge. Radical border control followed by radical legalization. No mushy compromise. A solution requires two acts of national will. Putting up a wall along with E-Verify and visa tracking, and absorbing those who broke our laws to come to America. This is not a compromise meant to appease both sides without achieving anything. It's not some piece of hybrid legislation that arbitrarily divides illegals into those with five-year-old roots in America and those without, or some such mischief-making nonsense. If we do it right, not only will we solve the problem, we will get it done as one nation. I'm Charles Krauthammer for Prager University.
If anybody ever asked me from this point forward, what's your position on the wall, I'm just going to say, may I refer you to a Charles Krauthammer piece that he authored and spoke on June 5th, 2017. Wow. That is my position.
Wow.
Did you get the main lesson he took from it? What the wall would do was eventually slow illegal immigration to a trickle. And in the meantime, you take care of the people who are here. And that, and once their children become adults and participating in the political process, that problem of accommodating the 11 million people will have taken care of itself, because their children will be.
It fades off
to nothing.
American
cities, American citizens.
Wow.
That's 2 years before this current.
Why are we
situation.
First hearing about it now?
Well, wow. We're not. That was done 2 years ago, and I just wasn't paying attention to Prager University clips 2 years ago. And thanks to Jordy for alerting me to this.
Who could take the stance
arguing that point.
Well, Trump has, but not as eloquently as Krauthammer.
Well, I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be the section of those that would hear that and say, that's racist. And again, the word means nothing anymore, especially on this show.
Doesn't mean a thing.
But there are still so many people that would listen to that would miss the message entirely.
The message that has been lost, or the message that has been corrupted by progressives, is the progressives, the Mysterians, don't seem to give a whit about the sovereignty of our country.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's knocking at the door here.
And it's not Royce.
No. I mean, isn't there a red recording light on?
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
I think it was a computer guy.
I know it was. Why don't we take a break? And as long as my thoughts got that dramatically interrupted, why don't we take a break and come back?
$2,440,000 injured and 35,092 dead. Those are the National Safety Council injury facts from our nation's highways in 2015 as a result of vehicle crashes. Federated Insurance reminds you, these are more than statistics. This is family, friends, and neighbors. Distracted driving is an epidemic, but it's not the only factor in vehicle crashes. How about fatigue? Do you drive when you're sleepy and find it too hard to keep your eyes open? Then pull over. Go for a walk. Have you ever been unable to recall changing lanes? Do you stay up late nights and drive to work tired? You've got to change those habits. A National Sleep Foundation poll revealed that 60% of adult drivers say they have driven a vehicle while feeling drowsy, and more than a third of those same drivers admitted to actually falling asleep at the wheel. Don't become a statistic. Get yourself some sleep before you get behind the wheel. At Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours. Please make it home safely today.
More urban wildlife than a DNR field agent with a PhD. Joe Souchere.
Where were we? Oh. We have a group of politicians, especially the incoming progressives, who would disabuse the citizens of this country of the preciousness of sovereignty. There's nothing wrong with having our own country. And there's nothing wrong with admitting people to the country legally and have them join the process. That's not what's currently happening. I defer to Charles Krauthammer, who was a great, great thinker, and I defy anybody to find anything uncivil, untoward, or uncharitable in his message there. Said and spoken June 5th, 2017. All right?
Okay. What's the left fighting for?
The left is fighting for as many people as possible to come in here and vote for them.
That's exactly where
that's
I was going to go.
That's what they're fighting for.
Yep. So they would be against this because
they're fighting for power. They're fighting for control, and they believe that the more chaos that reigns, the more they'll have control.
This seems like the best solution, though. All right, those people are here already. We're going to cut everybody off, and we're going to wait this out.
What Krauthammer believes is that a wall with additional technology, you mentioned drones, cameras, what have you, would slow the illegal push to a manageable trickle, where now it's a flood, and
you can still come here
legally.
You just got to go through this door over here and be processed.
Absolutely,
but for a country to sit here and try to exercise control. And for those to look at that and say, well, that's racist. You people are out of your minds.
It's not racist. It's just that Trump is not eloquent and he doesn't.
He is not.
He but I think he has at his heart. If he has a heart. I think what he's dealing with, however clumsily he might be speaking it, is that he's hearing American people say, you know what, there's nothing wrong with us being a sovereign nation. We can't just give it away. We can't just live in turmoil. We can't continue to use public monies to accommodate so many people here illegally. We can't keep providing them health care and education and what have you. That's not what a sovereign nation does. A sovereign nation controls itself and controls its points of entry and controls its border. And one way that has come up, and if it's good enough for Krauthammer, it's good enough for me, and that is just one hell of a wall. I didn't really have a wall position until I listened, and I watched and listened to Krauthammer three times. And I just can't find a false word in his narrative, not one false word. And that's why I wanted to play it for GLers.
And he didn't have to shout at the top of his lungs to get his point across.
Absolutely
either.
Not. He didn't even have to cancel Nancy Pelosi's plane flight, which I thought was funny.
What do you make? You think that was?
But it's not funny if, in fact, it's true that he said, "Okay, gang, why don't you just fly commercial?" And apparently, they were going to. And now the Pelosi entourage is accusing the White House of leaking the fact that they were going to be ferreting themselves out of here commercially, which does present to them, would have presented a grave security problem.
Right.
And if that, in fact, came from Trump, then he stopped being funny. It was funny to write Nancy Pelosi a letter and saying, right. You know, given the fact that there's so 800,000 people out of work and you and I should really be talking, it's not seemly that you're going to be taking off on a week-long junket. And therefore, right. I'm canceling your transportation. If you wish to travel commercially, you're certainly free to
go
do
right
that.
Ahead.
But if it's true that Trump somehow arranged to leak the fact,
blew the cover,
that they're going to go commercially, he's crazy.
Not a good guy.
He's crazy.
That's but
even if he's a bad guy to do that,
even if she and the crew were going to fly commercially, that's still a bad look.
Oh yeah. Well, what do you mean a bad look?
Well, the government's shut down. You can't just.
Well, I think that was one of his points.
Sure.
Why are you entitled to be flying around here when we should be solving this? Is there some way? I mean, people smarter than us must have thought. Is there some way? Do you think Pelosi's ever watched that Krauthammer video? I wonder.
No, I would highly doubt that.
Instead of Trump talking to her, could she get in a room and have that played for her?
There's nothing about that five minutes.
There's nothing uncharitable about it.
There's nothing wrong about it. Everything about that is right on, and it's not very political. It's not right. It's
not
left. It's not leaving anybody out other than the new illegals that are trying to get across the border.
But he's a genuine conservative thinker. He's not a television conservative thinker like Hannity or Limbaugh or
right.
the rest of these screwballs. He's a thinker. He's in the William F. Buckley school of thought. He's a thinker. And what did you hear that wasn't the result and product of his great thinking
great
common sense?
But those holding office, Pelosi included, they have a narrative to adhere to, Joe.
No, I understand.
They could be sat and watch this on loop and might even agree with it, but they won't publicly act in a way that supports it because they have a base to appease.
You recall, we've mentioned him a number of times. I wrote a column about him. Dan Bostrom, possibly the last sane voice
Yes.
on the St. Paul City Council. There is no longer any sane voice in the Minneapolis City Council. Barb Johnson's gone. So you are completely ruled by the salon in both cities. But the city council was in charge of finding a replacement for
right.
Bostrom.
Right. This is a pretty darn important task. What middle-of-the-road style person did they recommend? Are they seeking?
Well, I happen to have your answer.
Imagine that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What line of work?
Well,
you know, maybe a street worker, maybe a I don't know, somebody
guy from a hardware store.
Yes, yeah, somebody that has their finger.
Somebody's actually worked. You mean?
Yeah, on the pulse of the economy.
St. Paul educator and youth worker Kasim Busuri.
Wow.
Will serve as the interim 6th Ward City Council member until the end of 2019, filling the seat vacated by Dan Bostrom. Council members chose Busuri to represent the East Side Ward after a public interview Wednesday. Busuri, who is education director at Minnesota DeWitt Institute and child care center director at Bright Start, was one of seven candidates seeking the position. Bostrom left the council in December after unexpectedly announcing his retirement. As part of the interview process, candidates had to confirm that they do not plan to run for the 6th Ward seat in November. Oh. The entire council is up for re-election this year. Council members are expected to approve Busuri's appointment January 23, and he'll be sworn in Feb 6.
So as he can come on the council as long as he doesn't run in the next election.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonder why he would want to do that.
Oh, I don't
maybe
know.
A little, what if he gets a little taste of that city council blood, and then he says, wait a minute, you know what, I do want to run. I take it back. My fingers were crossed.
See, I didn't grow up in the East Side, but I grew up going to school on the East Side. And I know the East Side very well.
Okay.
Very well.
Yeah.
Extended family from the East Side. Know it like the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. And in fairness, demographically, it's changed considerably.
Yes.
It's changed. You know, Johnson can't even what? Can they even field a hockey team?
That might be a conglomerate. You
know, I mean, it's no longer blue collar factory workers who worked at the brewery or American Hoist at Derrick or
Post
or Whirlpool or what have you. It's many of our new friends from distant lands. And, you know, for all I know, this guy's the right choice.
Okay.
You know, he's no longer representing a constituency of Croupy, Hughes, and Shattuck. He's representing a constituency of names that we have not commonly used or heard of because they're our new friends and visitors from other countries, from other lands.
Which is, that's all fine and dandy. Mm-hmm.
Let's just leave it at that. It's all fine and dandy.
Okay. It's all fine and dandy. That's
what I'm discussing. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. I don't know what the Dua Institute is. I don't
spell that for me. Dua. Is it like Dua? Maybe it's like a DJ.
Why don't you look it up on the big screen? We got a really nifty screen.
We got the TCL baby.
DA.
One of these in my house.
DA.
Dua.
Then an apostrophe.
Yep.
WAH. Institute. Okay. Let's see what we get.
Rook spelled it wrong.
Right. Just let's try to keep it moving as quickly as possible. The Dua Institute of Nigeria is the Research and Islamic Propagation Department of the Islamic Education Trust.
That might be of Nigeria. Let's try the Minnesota.
Here
we go.
Dua Institute. Let's try that.
Okay. Home about us. Let's go to
about us.
They're on University Avenue.
Okay,
it's not the best looking building I've seen.
Just be quiet, please, and just be quiet. And let me see this. You can read it because your eyes are a little better.
Get to know about Mazid Dua. Who we are, purpose and goal. Minnesota Dua Institute was established in February of 2007 by local Muslims from different backgrounds and professions with one goal in common, to be an asset in our community in which adequate programs and services such as religious, educational, and social are provided through adhering in the principles of Islam, the Quran, and Sunnah.
All right. Now see if there's one called... No, it's I would trust that he. It's according to this, Busari is the director at Minnesota Dua Institute. So you are reading the right information.
Okay,
he is a director of this particular institute.
They would help with whatever services: nikah, divorce,
all right,
counseling, family, youth, and marriage, immigration, hospital and sick visits, youth mentoring, after school programs, homework help center, weekend Islamic school and Dua classes, and a couple other
tarbiyah.
Things.
Tarbiyah.
Yeah, Tarbiyah and
Halakha.
Tell us.
Whatever that is.
Right now.
Okay,
tell us.
There you have it. There you have it. We're very diverse, and he'll be filling in until...
So his role was here as a director?
It says he is... Does it say A or D? He is education director at Minnesota Dua Institute.
Okay.
Education
director. So he's probably helping some of the kids and maybe some of the adults that need to fill out a license form.
Yes. It's times change. We must change with them. To an old Saint Paulite like me, these are fascinating times, interesting times. We have among our citizens now a great and widespread diversity.
Yes, but I think the only difference is
you have no right to talk because you live in South Saint Paul.
That's true. But growing
and
up in Saint Paul,
your mayor calls radio shows and does different voices.
Yes, he does. But growing up in St. Paul, and I remember the Hmong refugees, the influx in the 70s, and they would hook up with the church. Yeah. I remember helping out a family as well.
Oh, yeah.
The difference is those families truly adapted to our culture and language and worked hard. I don't know that this new group is
Do you remember the caller? He's the fellow who, when he shakes your hand, he takes your pulse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I remember this gentleman.
He's a local mortician, good friend of ours. Yes. He had a great point. He grew up on the East Side.
Okay.
And I remember him saying this 6 months ago or so when some topic came up that would have compelled him to weigh in. And he said the biggest difference in the country right now, and I just thought this was so pertinent, he said people used to come to this country in order to become Americans. Now they come to this country in order to live in America. And there's a
wow. I think that's a big difference.
I think that's a big, yep. big difference. And I think that that's the kind of thinking that Krauthammer could have given a spin around the block. People used to come to this country. You know, go back all the way. Okay. The Irish did not come to this country to live in America. The Irish came to this country to become Americans.
Yes.
There's a huge distinction.
That
and now you have people from various lands around the world who come to this country, and the first thing they do is figure out how to game the system and set up their own community centers and preserve their own culture and speak their own language, and they have no interest in becoming Americans. They have a great fascination and interest in living here.
I can't believe that wisdom came out of that guy's mouth.
No, isn't that so?
That's really, somebody must have told that to him. That's not original.
Well, he's smarter than he lets on.
But wow, that's right on. Break that down. That's spot on.
I just did.
Look at now.
People used to come to America with a great, great intention and love of becoming an American. Now they come to this country with no more intention than to merely live in America.
A one and a two and a...
You learn more here by accident than elsewhere by design. Here's Joe Souchere.
There she was, just walking down the street, singing do-wah-diddy-diddy-dong-diddy-doo. Moving the fingers and the shuffling the feet.
Manfred
Man,
right?
Singing do-wah-diddy. Yep. Do-wah-diddy.
That's a great tune.
Is that the school's, the center's a fight song?
I don't think so. I think that's different.
Under my direction, Reavers spent considerable time attempting to commit Representative Ilhan Omar to join us on the show.
Oh, what time is she doing that?
I think you people that voted for her have been hoodwinked. I don't necessarily think you're being represented well. She has no interest in being held accountable. At least to come on with me, I'm sure she'll find some what she would consider to be more receptive or friendly news gathering outlets that would throw her softballs.
When I called the Minneapolis office, mm-hmm. I spoke to Kate, mm-hmm. and she was very nice. And then she directed me to the Washington office. Mm-hmm. Then I got just a generic voicemail.
Are you aware that she's in the news?
Yes.
Right now. Freshman... I find her to be a duplicitous human being.
Did you know she's in the news? What day isn't that true?
That's true.
She's always in the news.
Freshman Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar is fighting back after being labeled a bigot by critics for two tweets, one a recent post about Lindsey Graham and the other from more than 6 weeks ago about Israel. On Tuesday, the Minneapolis Democrat posted a tweet about Graham saying, "They got to him. He is compromised." The comment was made with a retweet of a post featuring a 2015 CNN interview in which the South Carolina Republican called then-presidential candidate Donald Trump a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. When asked about the tweet on CNN Thursday, Omar said her point was, "We have seen many times where Senator Lindsey Graham has told us how dangerous this president could be if he was given the opportunity to be in the White House, and all of a sudden he's not only a 180 turnaround, but a 360-degree turnaround. So I'm pretty sure that there is something happening with him, whether it is something that has to do with his funding when it comes to running for office, whether it has something to do with the poll that they might have in the district or whatever it is to do with some sort of leadership within the Senate, she continued, without providing any
proof.
Well, not only no evidence, but I don't know what she meant by they. Who's they? He is somehow compromised to no longer stand up for the truth, she concluded, for his change of opinion. So let me stop right there. Whimsically, out of thin air, she has decided to attack Lindsey Graham for Lindsey Graham's views of Trump from what's getting to be 4 years ago now. And not only that, she is floating the idea, which will be extraordinarily tempting to the likes of her followers. Mm-hmm. She's floating the idea that, well, because he used to say bad things about Trump, he's no longer speaking the truth. So we learned two things. She thinks it's the truth that Trump is a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. Okay. That would be the truth to her. But the second thing she's doing is she's suggesting, she's planting the seed of suspicion that because Graham now doesn't say these things about Trump, that obviously Trump is blackmailing him. That's what she's saying.
They got to him.
But she provides no evidence. She is a deceitful, not trustworthy person. She's not there to help her district. She's there to help herself.
Did she comment on her district at all?
I'm troubled by her. Now I'm going to be the racist, but it doesn't mean
but even when she was running for office and she was going on Comedy Central and she's... I have always had the, and I know people that voted for her.
I don't.
She's always given the impression that the job she's running for is secondary, and she's in this to become a star in some way. That's how the media is treating her, by the way.
When pressed on how she could make such a charge without evidence, Omar at first asserted, "The evidence really is present to us," but then backtracked, explaining, "My tweet was just an opinion based on what I believe to be visible to me, and I'm pretty sure there are lots of Americans who agree on this." Well, I'm not among them, and I'll tell you why. Isn't this called politics? Isn't it common that you rip the hell out of your opponent?
Yes.
And then once your opponent ends up winning, you figure out a way to live with them? Isn't that politics?
George Bush with Ronald Reagan. They couldn't stand each other. And then, you want to be my vice president? Ronnie, good to see you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
It's called politics. Of course Graham didn't want Trump. But Trump won. Now Graham's working with him.
Right.
And this foul creature... I'm troubled by her behavior. She's duplicitous, which means what? Deceitful, and she has the audacity. 2 weeks into the job, no experience whatsoever.
Right? Wouldn't you be in the back of the room, kind of with your head down, kind of observing a little bit?
No. I mean, let her charge forward. But here's what she charges forward with. I believe this is visible to me. So what we're going to be subjected to during her terms in office is that whatever she happens to feel. See, she's a postmodernist who believes the truth is relative. So I'm determining, Ilhan Omar says, I'm determining that Trump is a racist, xenophobic, religious bigot. And back then, 4 years ago, Lindsey Graham was telling the truth when he said that. But now Lindsey Graham is not saying that anymore. Therefore, he's no longer telling the truth. I suspect they got to him.
Bought
he's compromised. They're blackmailing him. On what? What evidence do you have? I don't have any. This is just what I think.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, like you get to think that. But you're making some really, really vulgar charges here.
What's going to be her backlash?
Although she made no reference to Graham's sexuality, many conservatives denounced her for homophobia, saying her tweet about Graham being compromised was a reference to long-running and unsubstantiated rumors that he's gay.
Oh.
This is ignorant, homophobic, and unacceptable, CNN's S.E. Cup tweeted with a link to the CNN interview in which Omar made no reference to Graham's sexuality. Democrats, this is becoming a very bad look. Here we have Ilhan Omar, a sitting congresswoman, floating around a conspiracy theory with absolutely zero evidence that Lindsey Graham is secretly gay and the GOP is holding him hostage. Unbelievable, tweeted social media strategist Caleb Hull. Omar responded with a tweet of her own. I love how revealing the right is in their assumptions of me, Omar said Thursday in response to a Breitbart news link to an article about the controversy. Pro tip, just because you are homophobic doesn't mean anyone else is. In another tweet, she said conservatives jumped to the conclusion she was being homophobic because the right thinks being homosexual is compromising. I have news for them. Being LGBTQ plus isn't something we should be ashamed of, she said. Y'all know my tweet, y'all. Y'all.
What? Who said that? Omar did?
Yeah.
Come on. Y'all?
Y'all know my tweet had nothing to do with his sexuality and everything to do with these blind cooperation with Trump. Let's focus. So she's not – that's very revealing.
Yes.
She's not there to work across party lines. She's there to condemn Trump. Graham's office declined to comment when contacted by USA Today, but in 2018 he did address a series of tweets from comedian Chelsea Handler that also implied he was being blackmailed for being homosexual. She wants to live her life that way. That's up to her, Graham told TMZ. She knows zero about me. To the extent that it matters, I'm not gay. Another Omar tweet from 2012 has drawn accusations of anti-Semitism against the congresswoman who was appointed to a seat on the House Foreign Relations Committee by Nancy Pelosi Wednesday. Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Israel Omar, who was Muslim of Somali descent, tweeted during an Israeli military offensive against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. May Allah awaken. Are you kidding me? Anti-Semitism has no place in Congress and certainly not in the House Foreign Affairs Committee. I am deeply disappointed in Speaker Pelosi's choice, a choice that threatens the committee's long history of bipartisan support for Israel, House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy said in a statement Thursday. On Thursday, Omar told CNN her tweet was a regrettable way of expressing her point.
Oh my God.
And said she didn't know her comments would be offensive to Jewish Americans.
What?
Sure she did.
So she's backpedaling again on this. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Well, she's obviously doing it to be an antagonist.
And we're stuck with this duplicitous, ill-tempered, manipulative, Machiavellian. I'm trying to keep it above board here.
I hope so, yeah. Lindsey Graham has never been married, has no children. He helped to raise his sister, Darlene, after the deaths of his mother and father, which occurred within 15 months of each other, leading the two without parents when he was 22 and she was 13. So he's been through quite a bit. He's kind of like a brother, mother, and a father all rolled into one.
Mm-hmm. How bleak, though, is the outlook on the future of those elected that are like Elon?
I think we're doomed.
Joe, I'm looking at her Twitter account right now.
I don't like her, and it has nothing to do with her skin color.
No.
I don't like her personality. She is manipulative. She is dangerous because she's getting away with these wild accusations that somehow Graham is being blackmailed or something. It's just it's politics, you fool. It's been throughout American politics throughout history. You rip the hell out of your opponent, and then when you lose, you figure out a way to get along with them.
But why, when the left has this mob mentality with a lot of subjects, and yet the likes of her aren't going to be held accountable for actions or anything that's said, that's really troubling.
There were rumors that they've never been substantiated that to avoid what, some sort of immigration hassle, she married her brother.
Yes.
But I can find that not to be the case. But I could not find that to be the case because when those allegations surfaced, every single news gathering organization in the Twin Cities ran to her defense. So I'm not sure how thoroughly that was examined because, you know, the likes of Min Post or the Star Tribune or what have you, they find her to fit their template perfectly.
Oh, perfectly.
She's black. She's female. She's glib. She's Muslim.
The first everything.
She's the first everything. And we're stuck with her. We're stuck with this duplicitous. I got to stop right there. I can't get myself.
Yeah, even though she could go satellite.
And I apologize to GLers.
Well, yeah, the people that
she
say,
won't come on with
have
us.
Her on. Well,
we're trying.
We've tried.
She's not going to be accountable to anyone that's not going to be friendly to her. And I would be entirely civil to her, but her people would get to her and say, "Don't go on with him."
Right. Oh yeah, for sure. Just like Nikema Levy Pounds.
The night before, she told CNN's Christiana Annampour that she thought her choice of words was unfortunate. There's a difference between criticizing a military action by a government that has exercised really oppressive policies and being offensive or attacking a particular people of faith, she said.
You're being well-served, Edina, Richfield, St. Louis Park.
I think that we've seen and heard enough of her to know what her true feelings are about Israel.
Okay.
What would you expect them to be, given her very intense Muslim background?
But, of course, you need to work together with Israel if you are in
She has no interest in it. No.
In the House of Representatives, you have to – you can't just rip them. You've got to go above that and realize that you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
This is going to introduce an entire new category too, Joe. And I can't remember how long ago you coined the term those elected are trying to be important rather than useful.
Yeah.
She's going to take that to a new level.
I have my suspicions that it's worse than that.
Okay. In 2002, Omar became engaged to Mary. What is that?
What happened? The table's rising. The table's it's like a movie here.
You hit the button.
That, what movie did?
No, Rookie did by accident.
I must have hit it with my big belly. She became engaged to Ahmed Hirsi. They applied for a marriage license, but the application was not finalized. The couple had two children together before separating in 08. In 09, Omar married Ahmed Nur Said Elmi, a British citizen. She said that in 2011, she and Elmi had a faith-based divorce, and in 2017, they were legally divorced. In 2011, she reconciled with Hirsi. They had a third child in 2012. Okay, so they got three kids, and they're legally married now. She's a busy gal, huh?
In fairness to us, Omar has not responded to any news outlet trying to get her to comment. Except, I guess, CNN.
Your prediction, will this make her shout louder, or will this make her go to the back of the room and keep her head down?
No, she's not a back of the room type gal.
No.
She's in this for reasons that we possibly don't even understand.
Well, good luck. Again, Edina, Golden Valley, St. Louis Park. I don't know that you're well served.
I think you're being well served, and she's not going to be accountable to you. There's a lot of Jewish people in her district.
Yeah, especially Edina, St. Louis Park, Golden Valley.
St. Louis Park.
All right.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah. What is a pirate's favorite letter?
I.
No.
R?
You might think it's R, but it's really the C.
Why did that come up?
I don't know. I wanted to tell a joke. Hey, have you ever seen a peacock fly?
No.
It's really cool.
What is wrong with you? I'm engaged in some very serious stuff here, and you just blurt out this crap.
Have you ever seen a peacock fly? People go, no, it's really neat.
What if I had said yes?
I would have said, it's pretty cool, isn't it? Oh, Lord.
Okay.
She won't come on, huh?
Why don't you go find somebody to push down a ramp?
What's the smartest gun in the world? The Elon Musket.
Okay. Oh, shit.
What are you?
I'm Friday, baby. Let's go. What podcast is this, 81?
For you, it's the last.
It's going to be the last.
It's for you, it's the last. This is 81 for the rest of us.